Hi, I'm PJ Vogt, and I want to tell you about my podcast, Search Engine. We try to make sense of the world, one question at a time. No question too big, no question too small. We will even answer your questions if you send them in. Stuff like, what happens when a cemetery goes out of business? What should we do about teens using AI to do their homework? Who buys luggage at the airport luggage store? Follow and listen to Search Engine in partnership with Odyssey, wherever you get your podcasts.
Brian Mazurowski in with you. And, you know, I'm just a little bit early because he is in for David today.
That's right.
Bringing in Joe Beamer, just in case you were sick of listening to just me over the last 4 hours or so.
I
spice it up just a little bit.
I think 5 hours of just Brian sounds great, but yeah. I appreciate the invite. I like the Marv Levy look you got going here today.
I wish I had the Marv Levy look. That is the one piece of Bill's gear that I got my nice, this is my nice Bill's sweater. I think they need it. I try it. This is my big game sweater. Actually, it's more my Thanksgiving time sweater.
Right. So the next 2 games?
Yeah, 100% chance I'll be wearing this on Thanksgiving.
I like that sweater a lot.
Nice little Bill sweater. I wish I had the Marv Levy sweater. And everyone knows what I'm talking about. With Bill's spelled out across the chest.
Yes.
That I want that sweater so bad. I would love to have that sweater.
That sweater, and I wish I could go back in time and get the old starter that Marv had on the sideline when in a very cold game.
Yeah.
I used to have one that...
have one.
When I was a lot younger. I'd like to have that to wear to the games. Because right now, I don't have a Bills heavy jacket to wear to the games.
I've got one hanging up in the closet. I have one of those. The Marv sweater, though. That's the one Bill's thing that I would love to wear.
I mean, Marv could go right from the sideline to a nice dinner party.
Oh yeah, you can't say that about coaches nowadays.
No.
Wearing sweatpants on the
sweatpants, yeah.
But like they have to. There, remember when there was the coach in San Francisco who wanted to wear a suit on the sidelines,
he did.
And the league told him no, you had to wear like the Nike stuff. It was Reebok then.
Yeah.
You have to wear like the sponsored stuff that we have,
the
official sideline apparel. And now all the coaches, like, no offense to Sean McDermott, he looks great when he's not on the sidelines. On the sidelines in like the cold games, like watch him on set. He'll be wearing like gray.
Yep.
Like he looks like me around the house about to paint a room.
And I don't like that because I don't like when the one sideline looks like the other. I mean, every sideline in the NFL...
It's all the same, just a different logo.
I mean, and now that's all in college, too.
Mm-hmm.
The Bills sideline looks the same as a lot of college sidelines. They have the same contract. It's like, I liked when it was a variety, and you didn't know what you were going to get.
I wonder what I would love for... What if that started off... Sean McDermott, when he talks to the media today, what if that was the first question? You know, forget Josh Allen. Sean, if you had your choice of what to wear on the sidelines during a game, what would you dress like?
We could probably get that question asked.
It is. I would love to know because he's like a well-dressed guy, but then you're forced to wear a certain thing on the sideline, and he's, you know, in like monotone sweats. Yeah. But it's not his choice. But maybe it is. Like if you told me, like, oh, Brian, you're going to work, you have to wear a sweatsuit, I'd be like, sweet.
Yeah.
Like that. Awesome. Like I will be very comfortable at work. Thank you very much. But. I wonder what he would like to dress. You see that in other sports, by the way. Not so much hockey or whatever. Soccer is big in this. If you watch soccer, like you get wild. Some of the coaches will be there on the sidelines, like in like the full sweats. Others are wearing like $5,000 suits.
I was going to say, there's some like, suits in soccer.
And like everything in between. It's like a fashion show out there.
We should make it like baseball. Coaches have to dress up. They have to get suited up.
In full uniform,
yep,
in football,
full uniform.
The pads. No, the headset is in your helmet.
Yes.
You're fine with that.
Everything's like baseball.
Just the hockey uniforms behind the bench. You can jump in if necessary. You're waiting for the extra guy to get on the ice. You can just hop on, coach.
It is ridiculous in baseball, though. I mean,
super funny.
It's so ridiculous.
I do love it. But yeah, we're back here. That game last night, went to the game last night, saw Jack Eichel. With the hat trick, and that was deflating.
What was the building like when he scored the third goal?
Oh, I mean, there was people who had left by then, but you had people throwing some hats on the ice. I don't understand the Vegas fans in Buffalo.
Let me tell you what I think, and I could be way wrong here. So,
mm-hmm.
But I had a friend. in college who was a Carolina Panthers fan because he wanted to be able to follow the franchise from day one on. And that's why he was a Panthers fan. So I used to always think that, and I still do for the most part, but I always think back to my buddy Mark and think, well, maybe it was for that reason. They want to be able to say they were fans of the franchise from day one.
Your friend, though, does he live here?
He lived in Syracuse.
Oh, okay. So now that makes sense to me.
Okay.
In Buffalo, we have a team. But maybe the people in the seats weren't from Buffalo. But like to see people wearing Vegas stuff.
Yeah.
Just like
they didn't come down from Ontario. It's not like
a, what's going on.
It's not like a Leafs fan or a Canadiens fan that you know came from the area where
no one
for
is
the team.
People from Buffalo go to Vegas to vacation. I don't think there's a lot of people from Vegas hanging out in Buffalo vacationing
in November.
Just a guess, just a wild guess. But that part kind of got.
Were there a lot of Vegas fans?
I wouldn't say a lot, but just like that, there are any. You know, who aren't related to someone on the team. Like, that sticks out to me.
Yeah. I mean, I get upset when, and I know there's family of Patrick Kane, but I get upset when I see a lot of Chicago fans because of Patrick Kane. But I understand that a lot of that is family and people that
people know him.
More understandable than...
Absolutely.
Hey, let's pick a team, Vegas.
But just deflating yesterday. And I have to say, I do love it. Eichel scoring, like, you know, just pointing right at the crowd, getting hyped up, like watching the Vegas bench. It got me so triggered and angry, and like that's what you want. I mean, you want it to go both ways. You want to rub it in their face. You want them to do the same back to you.
You're letting him get to you.
Well, yeah, but like that's a good rivalry. Like I hope that last year got to it. Obviously did. Remember him after the game? It got to him. He got to us this time. Well, let's turn it back around next time we play each other. It's a fun one.
Still have to play them out there.
Yeah, which doesn't have the same...
No.
Like, the Vegas fans don't care about Buffalo. Like, Eichel will, to an extent, but him...
It won't be the same atmosphere. Yeah.
Is, like, that is what you want. But, you know, I had fun. I had a good time. Just disappointing. It reminded me a little bit, not on the same scale... But it reminded me of Game 3, Cup Finals 99. Everyone comes in. There's such a buzz in the crowd. It's so hot. It's, you know, you could feel it.
It was a 1-1 series?
Yeah. It was right in there. It was great until, you know, the game happened. The Sabres got 12 shots on goal. And, like, after you just kind of feel like, ugh. You know, that was...
Rough.
Not what we wanted. And then you leave, and we'll get them next time, I guess. But all right, a lot going on here today. A lot of things in the news, including, Joe, this. You know, I mentioned every now and then I'll get something sent to me that's pretty interesting. This was an article in the New York Times that says more couples are fexting.
Ooh.
No, I just wanted to put that out there because no one knows what that it is. Fighting by text message.
Oh,
arguing. This is from the article. Arguing over text, the article says, can be practical to avoid arguing in front of kids, arguing in front of somebody else, or just to write it out. Instead of saying it, and maybe you're less likely to let your emotions or the moment get the best of you and say something that you really don't mean. Right?
Yes.
I think it's a very interesting concept. And I want, have you ever done this? Arguing by text?
Have I ever? Yes. I have argued by text, but it's usually something... Either that happened in the course of the texting conversation that sparked the argument. I've never avoided a verbal argument and opted to do a text. If the verbal argument is able to be had, I am a lot better verbalizing my words than typing it because you can't get tone over text. But I have been guilty of having a slight argument via text.
I think isn't that the appeal to it, though? And 8030930, by the way, if you want to join us this morning, do you argue with your significant other over text message in place of hashing it out loud? And is it a good idea? The tone, I think, is part of the allure of arguing over text message, because the tone in an argument is probably not a positive one. So, like, you're taking all of that out. You're taking any shouting out. You're taking maybe a condescending tone in your voice out of it and just writing it down, and you're more accurately maybe conveying what you mean to say. You have a little bit of time to think it over, edit your thoughts instead of just going at it.
Yes, a rational person does. Me, I will be typing in all capitals with a bunch of exclamation points. That is how
you do that?
Oh yeah. If it's if it's an argument, I mean, I can't lie because my wife will call me out if I'm lying. She's off of school today. I know she's listening. if there have been arguments, I'll be honest. I might get a little upset, and capital letters might be used. And I'm very big with the exclamation point.
Is this a real fire, by the way, or
are they testing it twice in a week and on a holiday?
Good point. Yeah. Maybe they think we're not on the air because it's a holiday. Well, we'll let you know if we're in danger.
By the way, we also have a national radio show being broadcast out of the studio today. And the fire alarm's going off.
Well, you know, it happens. It happens. We're on fire here, Joe. But I don't know about this too much.
Do you text argue?
I don't argue a lot.
Right.
And
I don't want to come across that I do a lot. I'm just saying, it's happened.
I'm trying to sniff right now to see if I smell smoke. I don't argue a lot, you know, kind of by design. I don't think, and my wife every now and then will say, like, try and argue with me over, that we don't fight or argue. You know, like shouldn't we fight more or something like that? Like,
she'll argue that you guys don't argue?
Yeah. But, you know, because, like, you hear about it a lot. And I'm just like, I don't know. No. I am not a fighter in a relationship in the sense of, like, arguing back and
right.
forth. I am much more likely to be the person to
compromise.
Yeah. To concede a little ground here and there. Or if it's, like, something I'm not compromising on, I'm just not arguing about it.
Right.
I'm just like, yeah, I'm sorry. This is the way it's going to be. Like that's what you're getting with me, and that's the way it's going to be. And there's never really a need to argue about it. It's just, you know, here I am. This is what goes on.
That's how I was. You know, hey, there's no argument. I'm going to the Virginia Tech games, and that's the end of the conversation.
It's almost like I have the same, you know, temperament when it comes to my kid. You know, if he's, like, acting out or throwing, like, a temper tantrum or not listening or doing something like that, it's just, like, I very rarely, the only times you will catch me yelling is if he's hitting the window with a hammer or something, like, which has happened before, or, you know, about to stick his hand on an electrical outlet or something. You know, that's me, like, all right, yelling, no. But I always find it, like, counterproductive to start to, like, raise your voice or, like, get overwhelmed by it. Like, I'm always the person to be, well, what are you going to do? You know, it's like, it's a toddler. You know, what's it like?
Right.
Being another loud voice on top of this person's loud voice, I don't think is going to help us out.
You want to bring
all
it down.
That much.
You want to bring both voices down.
Bring the temperature of the situation down just a little bit and just kind of live with it. And he'll be thrashing around. You know, I'm trying to put you, I'm like, all right, you know. Sort through it, figure out what's going on, and I'll just put your shoes on, and we'll do that. Someone's saying, wait till your kids become teenagers. So, like, listen, I know. Like, that's what I'm scared of. Like, right. That's the part that I'm not looking forward to.
Then you will be arguing over text, but with your,
then,
with your kid, not with...
It'll be arguing over text. What do you think about it? 803-0930 on the text board. Someone's saying, there's some advantages to text fighting. But they say it quickly becomes a disaster. Tone is assumed.
Yes.
Bad grammar, misreading intent
exactly.
in one-word replies. Tone is assumed is one I didn't think about that when you were mentioning tone. That I'm thinking you're taking all the tone out of it, but you're saying you could send something.
Because someone's reading it with a tone.
Yes, and that tone could be the wrong tone.
But can I tell you this? And this has happened very rarely. Like I said, my wife and I do not argue much at all. We might have earlier in our relationship. We don't argue much at all anymore. There is nothing worse than the okay response, as someone put, the one-word response. When you've typed this whole thing out and you get a K back, now I'm upset. Now it is going to turn into a verbal argument because I can't keep this to text. We have now gone from adults. We've gone from adults to now. This is a high school fight. If you respond with okay, or have you ever gotten this one, cool. All right, now we're having a verbal conversation. I can't keep this to text anymore.
You get that every now and then. The K, that's just that is me again. Like, I just try to not lose my temper. That's me just saying, all right, I'm done with this for a while.
You're
like,
you're
obviously
a lot more calm
don't want to say anything. I'm just going to let this simmer over in a different room for a while, and then we'll come back to it when, you know, we're ready to say more than K.
Yeah.
that's what you get from me, which I probably send K a lot. But you do wonder, even in, like, non-arguments, if I'm, like, texting back and forth with my wife and I get a K, there will be, like, every now and then I'll be like, is she mad at me?
Every time. For me, it's every time.
Every time.
I have to check. I go, is everything okay? Because, like, all I said was, I'm stopping by Wegmans. K. Wait a minute.
Yeah.
You couldn't have put the four letters okay?
Yeah. That's every now and then. You have to, like, check yourself. Like, is this, are we okay here? Like, is this going on? That is, what are, like, the text message? There is, like, a text etiquette to this. The K is more aggressive than what you do now, which you can, like, thumbs up a text message. Not texting a thumbs up emoji.
No, actual.
You press on the text message and, like, give the little bubble thumbs up to it. I think seen as, like, rude or just like I don't want to talk to you, because it is. But
that's if you have iMessage, by the way. If you have Android, you don't know what we're talking
about. But there's probably but if you have Android, you see the liked by text message that you get all the time. But that is less aggressive than just, like, the single word or single letter answer, even if it might be a little bit dismissive.
Because it could also be taken as,
I'm guilty about doing it a lot. Just the thumbs up to a message. That's, like, key for, I got it, message relayed, conversation over.
Right.
I don't want to build off this.
Very nice. I'm on to something.
Not trying to be rude.
Right.
Just thumbs up.
K can be rude.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Look at what I typed, and you sent back K.
But sometimes I think I'm accidentally rude on text messages a lot. A lot. Now that we're having this conversation, I think that I am rude like that on text messages a lot.
Unintentional.
Yes, not intentionally.
And I don't think anyone who texts you thinks you're intentionally being rude.
But I don't know, now that I'm thinking about it. Because
people know you.
But I will, like, if somebody is texting me, you know, if we're on the air here, like, in the morning or something like that, and I just, like, one word response, I never mean it, like, bad, but it's just, like, here, I got it. Here's the acknowledgement. Like, I'll send, like, an okay or something like that, or, like, fine, or sounds good.
But when someone texting you know you're on the air?
I don't know. Like, I don't think it. But I'll do that sometimes. You know, I'll be running around. Like, if I'm doing something, I'll send, like, the one word or something like that. I don't mean it. It's just, like, okay, fine. Like, I'm not in a bad mood about it. It's just,
I got other things going on. I'm busy. I'm a busy person.
Yeah.
It's like if anyone
texts. I'm putting out fires.
Apparently, that's what we're going to be doing at the commercial break. I mean, for me, if I'm at the gym and you text me, you're getting a one-word response. Mm-hmm. I don't even like having my phone at the gym. I'm sorry. I'm so distracted right now. People are walking by. The fire alarm is still going off.
Is there an emergency? Should we?
Do we have to get off the air?
Is there? What's going on? Do we have, like, did we send out an investigator? Because everyone.
Is it the heater?
I'm just now. The space heater finally backfired on us. Just now I'm seeing people. This has been going on for 20 minutes before I saw the first person walk by, though.
Right.
Everyone let. Can we do a fire safety show when we get back?
Maybe. We might have to from the parking lot.
We're going
to
take a break.
I mean, hopefully we'll be back. By. Tom's in there. I mean, what's going on?
We have to have a word about fire safety, too. Beamaz and Beamer on WBEN.
From the trusted team behind 48 Hours, welcome to Case by Case, your weekly update on the biggest true crime stories unfolding right now.
Nick Reiner remains in custody without bail.
Luigi Mangione accused of stalking and gunning down United Healthcare CEO Brian Thompson.
From high-profile trials and stunning evidence to major breaks in cold cases, we'll follow it all case by case. Follow and listen to 48 Hours Case by Case wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm going to jump out the window.
It's still going off.
Brian Mazurowski, Joe Beamer here with you on WBEN, where we are going on 30 minutes, 20 minutes of the fire alarm going off, which is annoying.
I think it's gotten louder, or maybe it's just me.
It's ringing back in your ears on like a loop. Now, I do want to have... Should I unplug the space heater? Is that causing it?
I don't see where the sensor would be in this. I'm just concerned that sprinkler is going to start going off right over our equipment.
Well, then we get new equipment.
Well, that's what you think.
A word about fire safety, because how do we spend... Let's see. Fire drills happen from kindergarten to grade 12.
Yep.
13 years of your life in your formative years being taught, all right, when the fire alarm goes off, nobody panic. Everybody get up. You find the nearest exit. Make sure the door handle isn't hot. Touch it with the back of your hand. March out. You go outside to a safe spot. We meet here at the flagpole. And yet, as soon as you leave school, when a fire alarm goes off, what's the reaction everybody has? They do absolutely nothing. That is what I'm seeing all around here. That's what I see every time if I'm at a grocery store, if anywhere the fire alarm goes off, nobody does anything.
No. The first question is, what should we do?
After a minute, somebody will go, is that going to go off? Like, what's going on here? And then after like 5 minutes, people start going, oh, is there like actually a fire here? I think someone's foot would have to be on fire before they left when the fire alarm went off.
I just really wonder what's going on. We got no answers, by the way, in the 10 minutes we were off the air.
I don't think people are looking for an answer.
Oh, I thought that's why we had a huddle of people.
I didn't see the huddle of people.
We had Wheeze, we had Tom, we had Randy. I thought Jimmy, Rob. I thought answers were getting found.
I don't want to offend anybody like the text messages, but I'm not expecting a lot of answers out of the huddle there that you just mentioned. What are they going to know? Just what? Oh my goodness. I don't get it. Someone's saying it might be carbon monoxide. Joe, can you turn the space heater off?
Yeah, you're
closest. I would do it myself, but you are a little bit closer to it. Joe, by the way, is my favorite person because when he turns off the space heater, he doesn't do it like you or I would.
No.
By turning it off.
Yeah.
He just unplugs it.
That's right. Like, I don't want it plugged in overnight.
Grabs it, unplugs it, and just do it whatever.
That's how you know I've been here in the afternoon, because you'll walk in the morning and see it's unplugged. Oh, Joe must have been here.
Someone says the sprinkler won't go off unless the temp gets to about 165 degrees.
Good thing we turned that off.
Which I tell you, will never happen in this room, by the way. So the room could be engulfed in flames. I think it would still be cold. We don't have to worry about that. That's good. Someone asked if someone was making popcorn, and that's why. I've never set off the smoke detector by making popcorn.
I did, and I don't remember where. I'm sure I'll get a text after
How?
Bringing it up. So I was a young child, and my father and I had gone up to make popcorn at, I believe it was a Days Inn, and this is in the 90s, and we burned the popcorn, and the alarm went off, and everyone had to file out of the hotel, and then we had to walk up to the front desk and say, oh yeah, we set off the fire alarm, while all these people, you know, they woke up their kids, they're crying, we woke them all up, they had a big trip, you know. They were not happy with us, but we had to inform them, oh, we set off with burnt popcorn because we couldn't read directions. And in the 30 years or 20 some years since that's happened, I still can't read popcorn instructions. But yes, I've been guilty of evacuating a Days Inn hotel because of making popcorn.
Oh, a whole hotel.
Brian, it was the complete opposite of what we're doing here right now. Everyone was in the parking lot. I think it was like 10, 11 at night. I mean, so you know, people were annoyed. People are crying. And
people are crying.
Like the kids are crying. Like okay. People's kids are crying.
Well, a hotel, you want to evacuate right away.
Right. It was the whole parking lot of the Days Inn, except for us. We never went to the parking lot. We walked to the front desk and said, hey, stop. We're the idiots that woke everyone up. My wife just texted me. She said, I can hear the alarm on the radio.
Well, yeah. It's right there.
Well, I was listening to CBS at the break. I couldn't hear the alarm in their feed. What's going on over there?
They get soundproofing down there?
I'm about to kick them out.
I would like an answer, but
did you think it was going to be this long? I mean, this is pretty much our entire show.
Which is starting to make me a little concerned.
Why is that?
I mean, usually doesn't, like, what? That would indicate to me it's on for a reason.
Like, it was just last week they did the drill, right?
That was a couple weeks ago.
And that was, what, 30 seconds? A minute?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Wasn't too long. Still annoying.
This is longer than the drill.
Yes. This is like 30 minutes long. Someone's saying, it could be somebody just pulled the fire alarm. I don't know where the fire alarms are in the building.
No. The only thing, and someone did mention maybe there's some work going on, they are building a dentist office directly beneath the studio. And I don't know if maybe they tripped it.
They had to... What in a dentist's office would set off the fire alarm?
Well, it's
the drill
still
runs too hot.
It's still they've gutted it out, so it's still just the working to make an office.
I've never done popcorn before. I guess if you're a kid, you don't know what you're doing. But like, popcorn is fairly easy to not start a fire unless you have a defective bag.
Yeah.
To me, I do set off the fire alarm. I've gotten actually better about it. The trick is, I cook things in so much butter that it would be impossible to have a dry smoke come out. But almost every time that I cook something, the fire alarm goes off.
Oh, I'm the exact same way. I set off the alarm in our apartment. Luckily, not the whole building, just our apartment. Almost every time that I attempt to cook, our air fryer also, sometimes I'll place it wrong and the smoke from the air fryer will go right into the...
This person, shut that off or I'm changing the station. I don't have any control over it. It just shut off, by the way.
Yeah.
I wish I could shut it off. I wish I could shut it off. I wish I had that type of power to turn off the fire alarm. I do not. I don't have the key. I don't know what's going on.
WBEN, live from inside the burning building. Hey.
That might have been true.
That shows our dedication. Our dedication to stay on the air.
How dedicated are you?
We stayed.
When would you not stay?
Well, neither of us went out to go get an answer.
But there are people out there who are not live on the air. I feel like they're the answer people.
You just said you didn't trust the huddle of people. That's the only people in this building.
Oh, my goodness. Well, I still, the ringing will not stop in my ear. That's 100% sure for the rest of the show. But the smoke while I'm cooking, I do it all the time. My son expects it. When he was like only a year old, he knew how to grab his burp rag and he started flapping it around in the general vicinity of the smoke detector while I was cooking because he knows that's how you stop it.
Yes.
I have the ones now that you can on my phone now press the button. It app alerts me when the smoke detector goes off so that I can stop it before, you know, without having to act like a Pittsburgh Steelers fan waving the towel
like
a maniac right by the thing.
That's what I do. I'll take whatever's on the counter and right in
front.
It's
an arm workout.
It is. But the problem is we have two sensors near our kitchen. I never know which one I set off. Because, again, sometimes I put the air fryer at the end of the kitchen.
So now that's why I like ours. They're connected to each other.
Ah.
So if one goes off and it starts going on for a while, like the next one will start to, you know, alert the other parts of the house. Hey, there's smoke in the kitchen. Like it says to you, you know, exit immediately, you know, whatever. And and it's, I don't have to worry about too many different ones all kind of not in sync, scattered around.
Oh, no. I have to know which one I set off to know what sensor to clear up.
I... am better about setting it off. I'm just amazed at how nobody leaves.
No.
Like, what is the smoke detector even for?
Everyone came to talk to Jimmy.
He doesn't know. No offense, Jimmy. He doesn't know what's going on. He's here.
Jimmy worked a one-day week. He's just living it up.
Hey, Jimmy, do you know what's going on? I don't know. Do you see the fire here? Because if I'm not looking directly at it, no, I don't know what's going on. How is he supposed to know what's going on? But no, I'm glad that it's over.
Yeah, that was unexpected. But you know what? Sometimes unexpected, I guess, plays out well on the radio. Except for the person who said they had to turn us off because of the fire alarm.
Someone said they were at a hotel bar. The alarm went off. The hotel manager ran in, said it was real, and nobody left until they finished their drinks. Which I can see. Like, I don't know why you don't have this sense of urgency all the time, but I could see that. If I was sitting there, I'd be like, well, I don't see the fire right now. Give me a minute. And like, I'll finish this and then walk out. I'll meet you out there by the flagpole.
Yeah. I don't know. If someone had told me it's a real fire, again, if I don't see it, I'm probably going to finish my drink. But if I can, like you were doing, if we had started smelling smoke, I don't think I would have been here much longer.
I was trying to sniff it out.
Yeah.
Is what I was, which apparently I can't do. But well, I was trying to sniff it out.
No, you were correct because there was nothing to sniff. There was no fire.
We don't know that.
That's true. That's true. I don't see a fire truck.
Well, that's, I mean, there's like a... This is a big building.
You're right. You're
if
right.
If there's a fire, like, way over there, would ours go off?
That's a good question. We should go ask the fire techs before they leave.
Should we do, like, a fire safety day?
Yes.
At the Odyssey Studios?
Yeah.
I kind of think we should.
Do you think...
Judging by the response I saw today...
Do you think,
myself included, I think we should.
I mean, how do we know it wasn't on the other side of the wall we just built? You know what I mean?
That's I don't know. Anyways, this show went off the rails. We were talking about texting arguments before I...
What was the name of it?
Fexting.
Fexting, yes.
Which...
I want to make sure I said it right before I said
it. Yeah, because it sounds a little
raunchy.
It
could be a few things, yeah.
But it's fighting by text, and people were weighing in on what the like the text etiquette. Someone said if you get the text of just fine, one word, then you know something's wrong.
Yes.
And I'll say to that person, like, yeah, you don't need to be an expert in knowing text language and lingo to know that fine, one word, it doesn't matter if it's verbally over text or in an email.
Yeah.
That's not a good response.
No.
Fine never means fine, and everybody knows that. The one-word response, though, I'm guilty of doing it. I'm guilty of doing it for sure, and I never mean it to be rude or like for it to come off like I'm done with it, but it's just it's the way that I text. Like as few words as possible.
Yeah, in certain situations, like right now, here's an example. My sister's texting me, can I have your Hulu password? Well,
fine.
Yeah, she's not getting it. I mean, nothing. If you're texting me during the show, if you're texting me while I'm at the gym, you get either no text or very short text. Again, it can come across as me being upset. It's not. It is annoying. I don't know how people do it. You see people at the gym that just stare at their phones while they're on a machine. I want to be focused. My whole point of the gym is to zone out. Obviously, it's not to lose weight. It's to zone out. So I don't want to be zoned in on a text. I want to be just in my mind.
Those are like the most annoying. The phone has single-handedly saved the gym and ruined the gym at the same time.
Saved it by music.
The music, you don't have to listen to the junk that they're pumping over the speakers, which I would be just fine with nothing. Like, I would work out with no music if there was no music playing on the speaker at the gym. I'd be fine with it.
Yeah, they'll never do that.
Why?
Because one of the perks of working at the gym is, hey, if you're on shift, you get to pick what's playing.
I don't think you do, because it's like the same, at least where I go.
Oh.
It's the same... You know it. It's the same playlist over and over again.
It depends what time you're working out at my gym, because if it's a Saturday, it's 80s. Yeah, it depends. It depends who's working. I love it. I don't listen. I listen to my headphones, but I love that they get to pick their music. I think that's a cool perk.
I just like what's wrong with it being quiet at the gym? Like, if 90% of people are bringing headphones with their own music, so why do you have to have music playing over it.
Let me ask you this. As someone who has gone to the gym and halfway through a workout, their headphones broke.
I hate it.
Would you still be able to work out in the quiet?
Yeah.
Okay.
The quiet is fine for me. What I hate is the headphones break, and I'm stuck listening to whatever's playing up there.
Boom.
Whatever it is, it's never what I want to listen to.
Right.
It's never good to me. It's never something I would pick out. It's like, you know, high tempo, supposed to, you know, get you in the mood. It does not get me in the mood to work out at all.
BPMs.
I'm fine. You know what I want to listen to? Just like clanging and banging, weights.
Boom, boom, bam.
No, I'm saying just silence. Oh. And then just weights dropping on the floor.
I thought you were talking about, you know, heavy guitar, heavy
someone going,
drums.
Like in the background. Like, that's the perfect sound for me. That's all I need. I don't need, like, your music over top, but now you're forced to. So that's the good thing, is you can drown out that music. And then the bad thing is you're stuck with people, and it is tempting to, all right, you're taking a break. You know, you just lift a bunch, like, take a break for, you know, 30 seconds, 60 seconds or whatever you do, and you're like tempted to pick up your phone. Like maybe you just want to skip a track, but then you end up like scrolling through Twitter or whatever it is.
That's why I put a playlist together before the gym, and I have started wearing the fanny pack that I run with to the gym and put the phone in there. Then there's no reason to pick up the phone. I know what's coming up. I know the playlist that I picked for that workout.
Yeah.
I'm stuck with it. And then I turn the Bluetooth off my watch, so texts don't come to my watch.
I do find myself much more productive when I don't have my phone.
Well, yeah.
So it's like I'm not tempted to do anything. I don't change any songs. I don't look at any text message that I get while I'm there. You just focus, you're in, you're out, and you get it done quicker. You get to leave sooner.
The only time my phone's not in the only time I'm looking at my phone at the gym is Sundays after Bills games. I've started going to the gym then, and I'll have Red Zone on my phone and work out watching Red Zone, which is counterproductive because then texts are flowing on the screen.
But I'm at like the other end of the gym. I don't use any of the cardio equipment at the gym. So
which we've been over this. I need to use more.
I can't watch. I have done that before. I've put the TV on if there was a game going on my phone. I don't watch it. But I do have it in my pocket so I can listen to the game audio or the play-by-play of whatever's going on while I'm working out.
I've attempted to ask them to change the TV at the gym. Yet, so far, I have not gotten a
I don't think at my gym they can.
Yeah, because they have like ABC, CBS on top of the TVs. For us, that's at my gym they do.
They used to. I used to go to a place like that. It's just like a repeating. Like they have four different channels on and they repeat. Like I think that there's something semi-legal going on with the splitting of the cable to all the TVs that I don't think they're allowed to switch the channel.
No, because it switches on five TVs. They're not paying per cable box per TV.
And it's all like a fuzzy, like, for some, everyone has digital cable. It's always a fuzzy image. How does that happen? No one has a fuzzy image anymore. They're HD TVs, never in HD.
That's it. I have to say, at my gym, we have crystal clear HD television.
Like the TV situation in my gym is very weird. Crystal, you have HD TVs, never in HD, fuzzy picture all the time, same four networks that are like spliced together and the worst music playing on. Maybe I should switch.
Yeah. But you like the location trumps all of that.
Yeah, that's the, if you're close to me, you're going to be the one that I'm going to.
Yeah, exactly.
Like if I could run from my house to the gym, I don't, but if I wanted to, I could. That's going to be the one.
I can see the gym from my apartment. That's why it's my gym.
Yeah, that's that makes it nice and easy on you.
Yes.
Scrolling Twitter, I don't know if this is in your topics of discussion over the next several hours, but paying for Twitter. You know, not so much the hashtag or hashtag.
The blue check mark?
The check mark thing. But if it turned into like, no, if you want to use it at all, you have to pay $8 a month. That's what they're charging.
That would be
now.
The end of Twitter. In my opinion.
I wonder. I like to sit here and say, like, there's no way I'd pay that. But then, like, that is where I get a lot of news. It is how I stay up to date on a lot of things. Like, I wonder, you know, if it's, although part of me says if I was without it for a week, I'd turn away and never go back.
Yeah, I don't think I'd ever. Because like, I'm like you. Like if Twitter went away tomorrow, I wouldn't tweet. Obviously, it'd be gone. But it wouldn't be a big chunk of my life gone. I would be just fine.
Is there a social media you would pay for to have?
No. No, I don't need social media. I like to post things. I like to keep in touch with certain people. I don't need social media, and I'm not going to pay so I can take kickoff pictures at Virginia Tech and Bills games.
I wonder. It's easy to say. I would say the same thing, but I would also say if it happened, if all social media went to a subscription, I wonder if it would actually be the case.
I am very cheap. Money trumps almost everything. I don't think I would pay for one social media. But, Brian, we will get into some of that. Obviously, Lauren Fix, Carl Calabrese is joining us. Right off the bat, we're going to be joined by Damon Amarola. He's on the morning show host on CBS Sports Radio, hosting from here in Buffalo today. We're going to have him on, talk about Buffalo sports, talk about Josh Allen. Also, Brian and I listened to about 5 minutes of his show and asked, why was he making fun of Buffalo? So all that and much, much more.
All right. Joe Beamer is coming up next after the news. Thanks for hanging out with me all week. Brian Mazeroski on WBEN.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.